One of my favorite places on earth is Winchester Cathedral. At 8 o'clock, I said, well, I have other favorite places on other planets, but on earth, it's Winchester Cathedral. And maybe you have been there. Maybe you've been there to Winchester Cathedral, anyone? If you have, you know it is an amazing place of worship. One of the largest Gothic cathedrals in the world. And it has all the stuff that people get excited about in these places. You can look up the stats. Longest nave, greatest overall length, etc. All that. And I'm sure it's all true. I haven't measured it myself. I just take it all on trust. All those measurements and comparisons and whatnot when it comes to the cathedrals. What has left me stunned, though, after several visits, is the beauty of the place. I'm just susceptible to that, I'm afraid. Somehow, the light is different there. On the day you visit, it may be gray and wintry outside. But inside, in that amazing container, that same gray light, shadowy and dim, though it may be outside, will seem to be powered by a billion suns inside. Which, let's face it, it is. It's not that it will be excessively bright or anything. It just has an inner luminescence. Even focusing just on the building, Winchester is a place where it is very easy to see the kingdom. If you stand at the main entrance in the west, you can see how the sheer length of the place seems to draw on the infinite to add to its height. Standing at that western door, you look east, down an avenue forested on either side by columns that seem hundreds of feet high. Though they are made of stone, their rise is balletic, transcendent, curving upward at the top through the tracery to the peak of the vaulted ceiling and extending like redwoods into the distance. The whole structure makes radiantly present what would elsewhere seem unattainable. Though the sky was overcast the last time I was there, my retinas are still in memory spilling over with white light from the highest windows of the clerestory. Even when it is empty and the aisles are full only of the scent of sandstone and candle wax, I find it impossible not to hear unmistakably the voice of every soul and saint in every future history, lifted in praise and echoing in that Gothic vault. To be there on an Easter day is to see in flesh the global diversity that gathers under Christ. In that place, it is easy to rest in the vision that there is a great light coming for us all, no matter what darkness may come. And I want us to rest there for a moment. Want us to see that vision. If we see nothing else, a vision of goodness and glory for all is what we must see today on the Sunday of the reign of Christ. This last Sunday of the year is the end time, if you will allow the liturgy that claim. Today we focus on the future end of things, on what we are striving toward in all this, on the ultimate purpose of God's work, of which we are a part, the coming together in reconciliation, peace, and glory of all human beings, of every language, race, and nation in the kingdom of Christ. That is what it's for. And that is the vision that sings with perfect confidence from every stone and cobble of a place like Winchester. But of course, the High Gothic is not where that vision started or where it ends. Our Lord Jesus Christ was undoubtedly at some point born. We'll celebrate that in 4.5 weeks. That is a great thing. We especially know the greatness of that because we were born ourselves. I was born, you were born, all our children were born. Praise God. But for what purpose? Christmas is a great beginning. But what is it for? It is for the kingdom. Moments ago, we heard another birth for Jesus described in the gospel reading. It's the Good Friday reading, really. And its setting, the setting of those events, is challenging. Perhaps improbable is a better word. Like something out of the theater of the absurd, out of Samuel Beckett or Monty Python or Auschwitz or worse. Yet it presents to us the Easter hope upon which all Christian belief is pinned. Three men nailed to crosses. Nailed to crosses. Men nailed to crosses. People nailed to crosses. At high noon, in the Middle Eastern sun, have a conversation. Even that much is almost completely surreal. But they have a conversation in which they discuss the two options before us all. Like the thief on this side, we can be born for condemnation, living a life of accusation, derision, and judgment of others. Or like the thief on this side, we can be born for the kingdom purpose, living a life of faith, forgiveness, reconciliation, self-sacrifice and self-offering, and the humble truth of glory, the stunning power that God gives us in making each of us in his own image, is the awesome power to choose each of us from that burning place within our own ribcage to which cross we will be nailed. God's hope is that we will choose this set of nails for our hands and feet and be the thief nailed to the timbers beside Christ on this hand and not be the thief nailed on the other hand. That is the hope for second birth to which God calls us, that we will be the thief of faith and not the thief of derision. Though I or any preacher can give reasons, the cathedral of the heart is where that choice is made. It is made for love. The whole emphasis of the Bible and of 2,000 years of Christians in ministry and worship is that this second birth of Jesus on the cross as the firstborn of the dead, is all important, the purpose of his life. But the first birth is important too, of course. Its purpose is to let us know that Jesus began in exactly the same place we did, born of human mothers, and to draw our attention to this second birth in the hope that we too will choose it. So as we prepare over the next few weeks, beginning next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent, as we prepare through the four Sundays of Advent, I invite us to carry with us this vision of the kingdom, this great hope, and the great light we tried to see at Winchester. Remember Jesus in the kingdom. Visit during Advent this burning place of heartfelt decision and calling. Keep its flame in sight in this darkening, not yet festive time of Advent. And take some time to ask yourself, where will I be come Eastertide? On which cross? On this side or on that? On the cross or at the foot? And when in 4 weeks' time we get to the festival of the first birth, this is what we'll sing. Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Now he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the children of earth. Born to give them second birth.